time, the blending doesn't go well. And a lot of the times, it does end in split ups, breakups, and divorces. So, yeah, that dynamic of trying to bring two families, it is damn near impossible. I've realized that feeling unloved is the worst thing in the world.
I was so rooted in fear that I overcompensated by taking control.
Y'all thought we was out the game, but we just getting started.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Father Muckin' Ballots podcast. I'm your host, Jamila Ballot, and this is
Roberto.
My husband of 9 years, Robert Ballot. He likes to say Roberto, but he's not. He don't pick the Spanish or nothing. So anyway, guys, hope all is well with you out there. And let's see. Here's what we're talking about today. Well, first of all, let me just say this first. Today, you guys, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to do something a little special today. I'm going to play Let's Try Not to Interrupt My Husband Today.
Okay.
If you don't understand why I'm saying that, just go back and watch our last episodes. And I'm probably going to get on your nerves, too. I got on my own damn nerves.
Anytime we go back and watch the videos, I'm like...
A little fun fact.
Yeah, a little fun fact. So good. I don't mind. I mean,
listen, you look cute, babe.
Thank you, sweetie. You look gorgeous. Heavy.
He got on his sexy skinny pants.
Hey, Sean.
But all his pants are skinny pants, though.
Because I'm skinny.
But they're cute, though.
Show your sexy heels. They're cute. Heels.
Say thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Show your sexy heels. Look at the shoe cam. You need a shoe cam on that one. All right. You need a shoe cam on that one.
That's enough. That's enough. Yeah, so fun fact, when we first got together, my husband was very much a talker. I know, he still is, but he was really really a talker, right? And so when we started doing our, uploading our video, we started our channel, another channel, not this channel, but when we started that channel way back, I was a little bit frustrated all the time that I couldn't get a word in edgewise, right? So then I said to myself, okay, well, just jump in and speak when you have something to say. Like somebody that knew us, an associate, was like, oh, she's getting more vocal. Now, I was always vocal. Always. I just was not able to get a word in edgewise. So now the scales have tipped, and I realized that I still have this habit. Meanwhile, he has developed better self-control. He's not interrupting me hardly ever. He's become a better listener. So now I'm looking like the butthole. Oopsie. I'm going to do better today. I'm going to do better from now on. Okay, babe, take it away.
Yeah. Actually, guys, I really don't mind. I mean, I'm if you guys are on the channel, you see I talk a lot. If y'all follow my wife, she talks a lot. So we're just talkers.
We're talkers.
Which is why we have a podcast, y'all.
Yeah.
But actually, we actually have things to say. It's not that we just babble. We actually have something to say. Mm-hmm.
So. I knew you didn't mind, by the way.
No, I don't mind at all.
But I was bugging my damn self.
I don't mind. So years ago, we were doing a conversation or something, and somebody, I believe, on Facebook, something jumped in like, you guys sound unprofessional.
He said we were over-talking each other.
But that's us in our everyday life. We're not going to be anything different than
what we are. Here's the thing. We never went into this with the goal of coming across so polished and being great on camera.
Exactly.
We came into this specifically on purpose with the goal of just being ourselves.
Just being ourselves. Absolutely.
So we actually are really married. We actually do spend a lot of time together. We actually do talk to each other a lot. We actually interrupt each other a lot in real life. So you're getting, I get it. Maybe people aren't accustomed to that. Maybe that particular person who made the comment wasn't accustomed to seeing people who are actually the same people in real life. But basically, we were doing things on purpose. We were on purpose making sure that we were never so camera ready that we weren't really ourselves.
Yeah. I don't like that because I think we're not authentic. Like a part of our brand is transparency. And so this is who we are.
You say you don't like that because we're not authentic? I know what you meant to say.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
That's what you said.
Oh, my bad. What I meant to say is I don't like trying to be all polished because that to me, then we're not coming across authentic. I don't like
Yes, because I can be. Yeah, Camila Ballett coming to you from Action News reporting today on the weather in Columbus, Georgia. See, I can do it.
Yeah, I can do it. Like, yeah, what up, homie? What up, ninjas?
I can kind of do it. He can do it, please. So anyway, that's enough of that. Excuse me.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
So today we're going to be talking about how to blend a family that won't freaking blend.
An unblendable family.
An unblendable family is something I think that.
Well, let me just preface that.
Go ahead.
We're saying that with a sense of humor. Obviously, all things are possible.
All things are possible
to those who believe. Okay, but go ahead.
But we've heard stories and we've experienced some situations that took a lot longer than what we would have anticipated, or in some situations, it's one case I'm thinking about right now where the guy just couldn't take it anymore and he walked out. He couldn't take it. He couldn't take the strife, and he felt like he was always being slighted. So I think it's a good conversation.
Who's that? Somebody I know?
It was somebody on social medias. It was somebody who reached out to
me. Social medias?
It was somebody who reached out to me years ago, and he was like, look, I'm trying to fight, but she, you know, his wife kept siding with the kids, and I think they were all adults too.
Mm-hmm.
And so the girls were getting mad at him, cursing him out, and he got to the point where it caused so much strife that he packed his bags and left. So I think it's something nowadays that we need to have a conversation about because
it happens a lot.
There's a lot of blended families.
It's typical.
It's typical nowadays.
We see stories of celebrities who have successfully blended families, like even our VP and soon to be president, Kamala Harris,
mm-hmm.
how she mentioned that her, I think she calls them bonus kids as well,
mm-hmm.
but those are her husband's biological kids. Those are not her biological kids. However, they are her they are her kids at the same time. And they refer to her as Mamala, which I think is so cute.
Yeah,
it's
I
so
too.
Adorable. I think this is a struggle that almost everybody nowadays can relate to. You know, the divorce rate kind of went through the roof back when we were growing up.
Right, absolutely.
And it's continued to climb since.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that inevitably means that a whole lot of those people will get remarried or mm-hmm. recoupled up, even mm-hmm. if they don't get married, and that they have kids. So I think the interesting thing is that most of the time, the blending doesn't go well. And a lot of the times, it does end in split-ups, breakups, and divorces.
Divorce, absolutely.
I think a lot of times it does because it's incredibly, you have to really, really fight. If you think fighting for your marriage when it's your own biological unit that mm-hmm. you formed and produced...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to fight no matter what, but mm-hmm. when you're trying to blend two families, think about it. You trying to raise, nurture, mm-hmm. provide mm-hmm. for, you know, commit to and have a partner and have that relationship, and both of you have relationships with the kids and each other. It's going to be hard without blending.
Without blending.
Now you take two separate families mm-hmm. where everybody's got a mind of their daggone own.
Mm-hmm.
On this side mm-hmm. is that ain't my mommy, mm-hmm. and on that side is that ain't my daddy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so even when you are a great person, and you know, and they don't usually see that, by the way, because all they know is that ain't my daddy, that ain't my mama.
Right, right,
so it's like they don't even give you most of the time, the kids are not even giving you a chance.
Correct.
Let's be honest.
Correct.
This is the reality of blended families. So yeah, that dynamic of trying to bring two families, it is damn near impossible.
Yeah, it is.
It is damn near impossible. And I think that most people never figure out how to do it successfully.
Yeah.
So in our case, you know, we different. We built different. We feel different. I don't swear by the zodiac stuff. But boy, when they say we are fire signs, baby, we are fire.
Yeah.
That is a miracle we haven't burned the hell out of each other by now. Boy, we've had some battles.
Oh my
when
God.
When I say, but battles. You will not see two people more committed to fighting for each other
mm-hmm.
than us.
Absolutely.
You will not.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know. That's no shade to anybody else. That's just how I personally, it's just my thing. It's how I feel. And everybody should feel that way within their marriage. But yeah, so we're different and we hung in there.
We hung in there.
But I think that season of wanting to pull your hair out and the frustration mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. feeling, mm-hmm. I've realized that feeling unloved is the worst thing in the world. And the only thing mm-hmm. worse than that is mm-hmm. having your life actually taken away.
Absolutely.
Because feeling unloved feels like it is life being taken away from you.
Absolutely.
It feels like is, you know, like your everything that matters has been taken away from you.
Yeah.
And we all need that. We all need that. That's why we will settle for false validation.
Mm-hmm.
Most people. So we hung in there. We went through all of the ups
and downs.
And so mm-hmm. now after being together, we met in 2012. We committed in 2014. We got married in 2015. And so we're talking about 10 years. And we are beginning to see the fruits of the prayers,
the prayers for
healing.
Absolutely.
And reconciliation.
Absolutely.
The amount of tears.
I think one of the greatest.
Probably more on my side.
No, I had tears. I had a lot of
tears. I know you did.
I had a lot of tears, I know. Too. I think one of the greatest lessons I learned, fellas, and I can't say that it was always easy, but I said this to my wife a long time ago. I married you on purpose. I'm like, I didn't marry the kids. And let me put this in perspective. I didn't marry, we didn't marry mom. We didn't marry dad. We didn't marry uncles. I married my wife, Jamila. And so I say that because when that's my decision, through all them hard times, I had to come back to, well, you married her. What is it that you guys need to do to get through
this
season?
Yeah, but say specific. Give me an example of what you're talking about when you say that, because I like details.
And this is, I didn't want to bring all the details into it, but I think one of the greatest.
If that's what we're gonna talk about, okay. Talk about it.
One of the greatest challenges is, and I think that you guys may experience this too, is that when you have an outside parent influencing the kids, and then what started to happen in my case is that I believe that I became.
He means the exes.
Yeah, the exes. Right. Or grandparents or whatever else. I mean, it's different in every situation. And so when those things start to happen, my wife has a battle to face because they're her children. And so I'm like, okay, you have to let her. I had to let you feel what you felt, deal with what you had to deal with. But my commitment had to be to you so that you knew. No matter what's going on right now, whether the cops are knocking at our door or anything else,
that's what makes it so hard. Because, so, being that so much time has gone by since our early years, mm-hmm. I have a broader perspective now, mm-hmm. right? So we knew as the adults,
right.
as the grown people who had already raised
right.
families,
right.
you know, who had... And who are entering marriage for the second time. So we already right. had some marriage experience over right. 20 years
right.
combined, right? So that's the thing. We understood that there were outside influences, okay?
Correct.
Can I tell you, a kid's mind cannot begin to comprehend.
No.
And that's something we understand as well, is that once you get to be about 35, 40, and you're like, wait a minute. That's there are some layers that just get peeled
back,
away,
yeah.
and you're like, "Oh wow, I didn't even realize that."
I agree.
You start memories and stuff, and because now you're an adult, and so like it or not, believe it or not, you don't have a fully developed mind in your early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You mm-hmm. could be a phenomenal person with a phenomenal. God has a great destiny planned for you, and so it's not to take anything away from you, but that is just. Factual,
it
okay?
Is,
now, once you become about 35 and 40, your perspective changes.
Mm-hmm.
It changes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, add on top of that now a real relationship with God and being filled with Holy Spirit. And now you've got wisdom on top of wisdom. Insight that not only comes from life experience and all the decades of life experience, but it also comes from that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the kids cannot possibly, they have no clue how much they have been influenced negatively. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? They have no clue. Mm-hmm. So what it looks like to them when you're fighting for your wife is I'm pushing you away. I don't want you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think
absolutely.
I'm grateful that God has been so faithful in healing, mm-hmm. you know, the wounds and reconciling mm-hmm. the relationships. And God, it took a whole lot of patience too. But I don't think they know you well enough yet to know just how much love. See, when you say something with so resolutely mm-hmm. and somebody doesn't know you, mm-hmm. you know, you come across like you don't care, right?
Yeah.
But I know you intimately.
Yeah.
Not the way you're thinking right now. Because you see so quick. Okay. And it wasn't when you were saying so it looks to a kid like who hasn't been married, who raised family, right. whose parents have split, like you came along and I know it looked that way to me too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Them your mm-hmm. kids looking at me, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure, maybe not all of them, you know. Even if it was just one, I'm quite sure it looked that way, even if it was just a passing thought.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm sure it was more.
Yeah, sure.
But to a kid, it just looks like, you know, from they have memories from that kid's mind and being in the position of a kid. And so I remember when my parents got divorced and then all of a sudden there was, you know, I was a stepkid on two sides, right? Because each of them got remarried.
Mm-hmm.
So to a kid, it looks like if you take their memory from their perspective as a child and to hear you say that, and they haven't really had, you know, some of them have not really, really had time yet to reconnect with you. It comes across like you're saying, I care about her, I don't care about y'all, but I know you.
Yeah.
I know my husband, I know his heart, and... I don't even know where to start to begin, you know, how to begin to put it into words, but the way the conversations we've had and how we've experienced everything together and how he's been there with me through all the hurt and I watched him hurt. We're so connected. I can't hurt and he's not hurt.
Absolutely not.
About anything.
Absolutely not.
And there have been times where I just say stuff and I'm like, oh, I learned something. I learned a lesson. Mm-hmm. And I look at him and he's all hurt. He's all messed up. I'm like,
you're jacked up.
Babe, it's okay. It's going to be okay. And I didn't even realize. He's like, nah, because I don't like when you get hurt.
Boy, I'm out.
There have been moments where he's saying that and I'm fine.
Yeah, she's perfectly fine.
I felt like I was fine. I'm like, I got him upset. So I just want to clarify that.
Right. But so I want to clarify that too. So, let me put this in perspective because you just said something I didn't even think about.
This is why you have me.
Exactly. you're right. I'm so dogmatic in my love for you. I can see that. It looked like, look, so brothers, I think.
And remember the outside influence, you know, I don't really like to say anything. Let me be real quick. It just created such a wedge that, It was easy for the finger to just be pointed.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
My mom don't care about me. Her new husband don't care about us.
Yeah, I got you.
They don't care about us.
So I need to qualify that, y'all, because it's a very interesting point. And I think any man in this situation is going to kind of understand where I'm coming from. So to fill in this gap, I had four kids by the age of 24 years old. So I knew nothing but fear. I knew nothing but fear. I knew nothing but getting evicted. I knew nothing but struggle. We've had this conversation.
Ditto.
We've had this conversation before.
Really?
When you are so, as a man, I was so rooted in fear that I overcompensated by taking control. Let me take control, because if I take control, and so now that was with my kids. There's a little bit of grace there because that's all they ever known. But when you now I'm a stepfather and I'm taking that same I didn't learn any discipline. I didn't change. I didn't try to alter my attitude. I didn't try to do any of that.
He did not know the meaning of lead with love.
I didn't because I didn't experience leading with love. The thing that I'm going to say, and then I'll pass it back to you, bro, fellas, bro, to all my brothers, is that my upbringing was so, for lack of better words, dogmatic, rooted in routine, that's all I ever knew. I had no grace. I didn't know how to extend grace when I got remarried now to be like, hey, let me try to sit. So, I know I can do it now.
Let me just break that down a little bit. What he's saying is he wasn't raised with all the lovey-dovey warmth.
I wasn't
affectionate
at all.
Stuff.
No.
Meanwhile, I was the total opposite, you know, and everybody's families. Listen, if you don't think this is true of your family, then you haven't woken up yet.
Right.
Because all families have a degree of dysfunction.
Correct.
All. A lot of families have some of the same dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is just human condition, human stuff. But I was, both of my parents, regardless, mm-hmm. were still very, very affectionate. So I was very affectionate. I'm still very affectionate right. with my kids.
Correct. You are.
You know, it's not a thought. It's not really, we're just like that. We right. just are like that. Like, even my oldest son is 6'1" now, and he still hugs me like he's a little baby.
Yeah, he does.
He literally still hugs me like he's a baby. So, teenager, maybe not as much. The teenager, not as much. But yeah, so when you consider that, and that he came from a totally different background.
Yeah.
I would have to say that was definitely one of our, if not our biggest struggles.
Definitely.
And so, you know, it's crazy how people think, well, I'm going to find somebody. We have the same interests. Mm-hmm. And, you mm-hmm. know, we're both black. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you're going to be just alike.
Correct. Absolutely not.
You still have a whole different set of, you can both be Christian too. Mm-hmm. And still have two very different Christian backgrounds.
Yep.
You know.
Believe differently. Yep.
Yeah. So, yes. So for my kids who didn't, you know, obviously you not being their biological father mm-hmm. and them experiencing suddenly, you know, that the divorce mm-hmm, mm-hmm. was sudden for them. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was sudden for anybody else.
I was offensive.
Which is normally...
I was offensive. And for that, I have apologized to, well, two of them.
You've had the opportunity.
I've had the opportunity. Yeah.
Three. Two or three?
Well, I mean, face to face, two.
Well, we got one here.
I mean, we're, you know, he's living with us. He, you know.
Okay.
The reason why I said two is because of the way they left.
Because, yeah. Okay.
So, brothers, I'm saying this because I realized I was wrong because I had no grace. And I apologized. I said, yo, I was doing the best I could with what I knew, but I was still wrong, though. Mm-hmm. I was still wrong.
But I do want to give you credit where credit is due because you weren't just wrong all the daggone time and you did show a lot of love.
Okay.
You definitely did. But this is just the reality of what happens.
That's blended.
This is what happens. Honestly, exactly. It's just like I've been hurt many times over feeling like your kids ain't interested in getting to know me,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, I by no means think I'm without flaws, right?
Right.
But I also know I have a beautiful heart. I really
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
So you're missing
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
And I also know my husband's heart. Yeah. I know his heart. And so you would only be loved and embraced.
Yeah.
I got nothing for love but love for you, baby. Literally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally. I don't.
But this is a problem.
But I don't, you know, family. I don't beat people down begging them, please let me love you. I don't do that either.
I would love it. But again, as I stated before, I married her. So my commitment is to you.
I mean, but if you look at it, so you had to take that stance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have to say though, if I look at actions mm-hmm. and I look at our lives, mm-hmm. you have absolutely married everybody.
Well, you have. Yes, I have.
You have. Right.
I have.
But I just want to say this because there's a lot of things that take place that are just between a lot of communication between just you and I that nobody else would ever know about.
This is true.
If I was crying, he was there crying with me. If I was praying for it and believing for it, he was praying and believing and holding my hand and saying and backing me up and supporting me, you know. No matter how rocky the relationships have been with my biological family and you know, especially my kids, because they're more important than anybody else. Right. They just are.
Respect.
But even with my mother, you know, no matter what has happened, no matter what's been said, if I need to take a trip, that's it. I don't do anything separate from my husband. If it's money spent on a trip, chances are it's mostly you. I'm trying to think, was there ever a time, you know, but you know, and it's not about the money. It's to me, what does that say? That's the point. What does that say?
Mm-hmm.
It says so that, you know, it's just proof of what I know, I know about you.
Correct.
And, you know, so for years, because of the divorces and because of the outside, the ex influence and then their peeps, you know, that circle, every person that was connected to, you know, all the talk and stuff. Again, I'm going to say, Kids don't know. The 25 and 29 year olds, they don't fully understand. No. Just like we are still waking up to stuff,
absolutely,
and remembering
absolutely.
Stuff,
absolutely,
and going like, oh wow,
yeah, absolutely.
At 50 something years old, because we're still learning, and as you're learning, that's when you start connecting. Mm-hmm. You start connecting the dots. Now you've got wisdom that you never had before, and you have more life experience than ever. So the dots just start connecting your memories and you know what you're learning. And that's when the truth starts coming out.
Absolutely.
But because that wedge, that creates the wedge, okay? And then, so the wedge season was a long, long season.
A long season.
And so there were times we had dinner with them, and there were times where, you know, we had some very good times, and we had some...
Some rough times.
Very, very rough times. And I think... From their end, it may have looked like she finds she don't care, but
no, that's the furthest thing from the truth. That's the furthest.
And I'm fine. I'm always fine because the grace of God is real.
Right, absolutely.
But at the same time, just like I told, I just visited my oldest daughter who's newly engaged. Congratulations! Shout out to Nia and Carlos.
Yeah. Carlos, congratulations.
That's my oldest daughter. But, you know, again, this is the main thing that's prompting this conversation right now. Boy, God is so faithful.
He is.
You got to know that he will turn it around if the desires of your heart are his will and it is your motivation is nothing but love, you know, and healing, which is what he wants for us. He wants us to be whole. He doesn't want your kids, everybody, to be broken and wounded and bitter and angry and against each other. He doesn't want the discord. He doesn't want that for you. So, anyway, boy, it's just been it's literally been a roller coaster. But I know a lot of times it looked like, oh, she good, she don't care. And it was the furthest thing from the truth. It was that I had to go through my season of, healing. And remember, we were just talking about this, and I said, you know what? God cannot do all the work that he's going to do in you as far as healing and showing you where you need to change and where you need to grow and helping you to grow and transform and renewing your mind. He can't do it all, bam, one time, because you wouldn't be able to take it.
Exactly. It's a process.
You would not be able to take it. So when it looked like I didn't care, except to him, he knows better. It really was just, I needed that season. I didn't go from happy-go-lucky, wonderful, to divorced.
Yeah.
No. I went through a lot my dang self. Yeah, and I think kids forget, like, mom is human.
Dad
is human. And so if we heard over stuff as kids, just imagine. They were hurting before we was born over stuff. Yeah, and they were struggling and going through stuff before we was born. And while we was playing with toys and skipping around, they had the responsibility of everybody.
Absolutely.
The weight of everyone.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of things to...
I think in terms of blending a family, one of the things I wanted to say, like, as a foundational principle is, number one, understand that is two different backgrounds coming together, number one. Like, that's something I wish I would have identified earlier on. Because then I could have changed my responses to certain things.
I don't know if that would have helped at that time, though.
It would have helped me. And it would have helped in a way... And it would help you. Because there was a lot of times, honey, that I didn't know anything but blacking out. And that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, right. Now I'm stressing you out.
Or what I refer to as throwing tantrums.
Throwing tantrums, right. and for that, so those are the foundational things. Like, yeah, like it was two different worlds coming together. So blending families is not an easy process. And you have to be in it for the long haul. That healing you're talking about. Because I was there with my wife. So even with my kids, right? As my wife said a few minutes ago, in terms of our marriage, they were not a part of our marriage the way her kids are a part of our marriage.
Right.
Say
that again, because that really paints.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids aren't a part of
are more our kids, quite honestly.
Correct.
I wish to God, but I'm patient. I'm being patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's something that I would love to.
Everything happens for a reason. You always say time and season.
I think that's the thing that I kind of want to get across when we talk about blended families. In the midst of it, everybody's mad, angry, they want to go their separate ways. But I'm like, look, if God blessed me with such a beautiful wife, I had to settle myself. Now I got to fight for her. I think for the most part, even within Christianity, couples start having sex and they just feel like they're just, oh my God, this is the greatest. And we never take the time and account for the seriousness of coming together.
The responsibility. It's a heck of responsibility. It is literally a heck of a weight. Yeah,
you know,
it is.
And everything is time and season. I want all of our kids.
And everybody's not going to stand the test of time. No. But we were determined.
And
remain determined. Yeah. And so at this point, it's like, as long as everybody is growing, and they are, you can't really grow, say, I love my mom, I miss my mom, and also be, you know, vindictive and mean and bitter. Love my mom, hate him. You know what I mean? Like, nobody has that heart.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Nobody has that heart. And I don't think, and again, when people are hurting and going what they need to go through as far as the healing process, sometimes you don't even realize you are becoming bitter. You can begin to become bitter and not even realize it. So this is why I'm always going to say pray through whatever.
Yeah, because you need to grace of God. There's no
because
way to go.
Only he can make the change.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Absolutely.
Because can I tell you, as long as you got memories, you know what's happened to you. When you're dealing with that trauma, it's really, 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 really hard. People say just let go. It's hard as hell to just let go.
Absolutely. It is.
It's hard as hell.
It is.
And I think that is part of the letting go. Part of the letting go is struggling with the letting go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was never my heart to be a bitter person. It was never my heart to be angry, to be separated from my kids. They were my whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole collective heart, all four.
I don't even know how to be honest with you, honey. This is looking back. There was some days I watched you deal with the separation from your kids, and I don't know how you did it.
What do you mean?
I know it's the grace of God, but...
What do you mean, though? Can you be specific?
Like, I remember when Elijah left, right?
I'm going to be honest. I told Elijah he had to leave.
Right.
If I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't have.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Right.
Because there was so much animosity that was created on purpose. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that was the result.
Exactly.
It was very successful, strategic on purpose.
Exactly.
Pitting people against each other, influencing children to be incredibly rebellious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that on purpose, everybody would split.
Right.
So I would not do it again if I could go back. Sorry, go ahead.
No. So, in that situation, you're...
I didn't see it at the time, but go ahead.
Well, I didn't see it at the time, but I was there with you. And so it's one of them things that, you know, like, I'm like, well, damn. I just felt horrible. And I'm like, I know to me, in my head, in my heart, it took all the strength in the world for you to... make a decision like that based upon...
It was hard as hell.
What was going on at the time?
It was hard as hell. Like, we, you know, in our last podcast,
mm-hmm.
I was talking about how, you know, what that bond is like. It was hard as hell. It was hard as hell. Like, I cry now thinking about it, mm-hmm. because I have, you know, my father instilled in me such a love mm-hmm. for my people, mm-hmm. literally. Mm-hmm. And so... I didn't think I could ever be the person to do that to a young black man, mm-hmm. let alone mm-hmm. my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, I just always wanted the absolute best for him. I look at him, he's tall and he's handsome, and I just want him to know that mm-hmm. you can have whatever you want in this world. Yeah. Like, you got greatness just on you.
Amen.
And, you know, all of them, honestly, but particularly them two, because they're so big. They look big. They mm-hmm. look like mm-hmm. their purpose mm-hmm. is just great. And I look forward to them really getting there. So that really hurt me. It really hurt me with all of them. But I didn't realize the influence was very successfully tearing them away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Very successfully. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, just having come out of that divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Being newly divorced, I have so much of my own daggone trauma. You can't see everything that's going on until you get some time,
mm-hmm.
you know, years mm-hmm. have passed by. But, I just want to say he's doing great now.
Oh, he's doing phenomenal now.
He's doing great. And I remember saying, like, you had to spread your wings.
Yeah.
You had to start. Yeah. You had to get started.
You're a mama eagle.
He had to because it mm-hmm. So I think that his nature, with his nature being what it was, mm-hmm. I felt like and is mm-hmm. I felt like he needs to fall in order to understand that he has the power
to
get up and do what he needs to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I felt. That's how I felt at the time.
And
I don't know how true that is.
I think it's true.
I don't know how true that is, but that's how I felt.
Well,
that's how I felt because my son was just like, la, 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 I'm never going to listen to anything ever, anything.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful that...
He came down here...
where he is now, you know, how he's doing.
But he came down here for Mother's Day. A couple of months ago, y'all, and again, we're talking about blending families. We're on the opposite side of this now. We went through
mm-hmm.
courts and police and all this other stuff, but he came down here for Mother's Day, right? And my wife wasn't home yet, so I met him at the door. He came up, and he was like, Yo, Rob, this your house is so nice. And
I have all of that on video. We should insert it.
Well,
well, when I came home, when I pulled up.
You have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he walked, you know, I gave him a tour. But before he left, he said this to me. He was like, yo, he said, I just want to say thank you for taking care of my mom. when we talk about blended families, that's by far the freaking greatest compliment as a husband. I don't care about all the praise from outside. Yeah. When I said we've been through the fire, y'all, as a family, we've been through the fire. So for him to say, Rob, thank you for taking care of my mom. I love to see her like this. I was done. I had tears in my eyes, you know, because we're on the other side now. Mm-hmm. On the healing side.
Finally. Finally. Boy, when it just felt like, and you know what's funny? There were so many days where it was just like, I'm standing in faith, God. I'm standing in faith, but I'm freaking tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm worn out. That's enough. How much longer? Mm-hmm. And I knew I never deserved it.
Never.
I knew I never freaking deserved it because I will never forget all them years that literally felt like years in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Where it was me. No help. No support. None. You know, there were a few, maybe a handful of family members who I have memories of sporadic popping in, popping out over a course of at least a decade.
Right.
At least a decade when I was raising them. At least. Good solid decade. But I didn't have support. Support is different. It's constant. It's constant. You know, there are things that when you go, so there are certain endeavors in life, like, I don't know, going back to school, right? Where you'll be at, you know, people will ask you questions like, do you have family support? And that's a very important question. It's ranked up there with, do you have a job? Because people realize that those are necessities.
Absolutely.
Those are things that, if you have that, you're good. You can do this. You can go back to school. Or if you have that, you can take this job because you have family support to help you with your kids. And I was never able to say, I hate that. I really believe there are some people who would say, we support it. Support is constant. My husband supports me. I don't have to ask. I don't have to freaking ask. I don't have to wonder. Ever. Dependable, can rely on, always. Sometimes it's not support. Never know when it's not support. Pop in, pop back out. It's not freaking support. Not in the damn mood. It's not freaking support. You live in walking distance and don't want to be bothered. I don't care. I already raised my kids. I ain't doing no grandbaby. That's not support.
All right.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna come back. I forgot what the heck I was saying now. But I remember all those years and that was so, so hard. And then getting divorced and you're like, okay, now it's a new season. And now, and a few years later after, after I left Florida, left that relationship and I meet my husband, I knew he was a great person. He just had trauma. He literally just had trauma. Absolutely. That's it.
Absolutely.
And so everybody dealing with the trauma of, I don't have my daddy no more. Who's this guy? Why is this guy in our house?
Exactly.
I'm dealing with my daggone trauma, trying to start my whole life over, and I had embarked on new job, new business, new everything, new whole new state. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
And one of the things that bonds us is that when we went through these periods separately, even before we met each other, they're so parallel that it's like somebody understands. Somebody actually really understands.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And we're in the aftermath.
Yeah.
Together.
The one common denominator I think that we found was that we understood each other's pain.
Our life, and that's God too.
Yeah, that,
because you know how easily we could have hooked up with people that was like, whatever. You probably just exaggerated. Exactly. Whatever.
Yeah.
We actually went through, parallel. Almost identical.
Parallel.
Very similar. Very, very.
And in terms of blending families, it's a very important thing because if you guys have, first of all, we're two different individuals in terms of our temperaments. But that bond, she went through that, so my wife understood why I felt that way.
Yeah.
Understanding.
Took time, though. Because I couldn't understand this yelling thing. You about to get kicked to the curb because I don't know how much more of this I can take.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was trauma. And when you love somebody and you commit to them and you say, I'm married to you. I'm marrying you. Mm-hmm. you know, as a female, let me say this. For a woman to feel like a man will leave you because your wounds need tending to is the worst thing in the world. Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing in the world because you're literally saying to a woman, I'm going to break your heart because your heart is broken. Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing in the world to know for a man to say, I will turn my back on you because you're so hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You're hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It's mm-hmm. ugly. Mm-hmm. Because what your job is to do, your job is to nurture the hurt. And so I understood that. I understood that. He's not a horrible person. He just seemed horrible when that wound got scratched.
Absolutely.
he seemed pretty damn horrible. Yeah. But I understood. I understood. Like, at some point, I got it. I got it. I was just like, even, and God showed me that even with my father. My father got a bad rap a lot. He's so angry, this and that, you know. I listened to my sister-in-law say this when my dad was on his deathbed, how mm-hmm. one day he was so angry. And God showed me, and so at that point I was almost 50, right? Mm-hmm. God showed me when I was about 35, late 30s, something, somewhere around there. I remember I was standing in line at Walmart. And I just heard clear as day, he's not angry. He's hurt.
He's hurt, right.
He's hurt.
Right. Men do hurt, yeah.
And so as hurtful as it can be mm-hmm. when your husband is, his trauma is exploding, mm-hmm. right? And you're his only safe place. You're mm-hmm. the only place where it's exploding. As hurtful as it can be, you got to go. You've got to be willing to go to God because the strength in it's yeah. not within yourself. Yeah. You're not going to have it.
Yeah.
You're not going to have it. And as long as he's not physically hurting you, I'm not saying that at all costs, just hang in there if it's trauma, because the trauma could be so bad, he could literally just be a menace to society.
Yeah, we're not talking about that.
He could be.
You know.
No, definitely not talking about that.
So my wife's talking about the trauma, y'all. And so a part of the thing, something that just came to me was, because I feel like I couldn't protect you. It's very hard. I loved you, and then, but when it came to the matters of the heart.
When it came to the still dealing with the.
Yeah, I mean, just your hurt. Yeah. I mean, but you.
The past.
Yeah, because you were, because it kept hurting you over and over again, right? I felt like I couldn't protect her. And so in that not being able to protect her, my trauma went into this freaking fight or flight. Which did more damage, which is why I said I'm older and wiser now. I wish I would have been the person I am today.
So what he's talking about is the attacks that were constantly launched because when you have kids in common.
Right.
So sometimes people say, thank God that chick is out of my life.
Right.
And they move the hell
That's
on.
That's me.
Okay. Some people don't say, thank God she's out of my life and forget about her. Okay.
Yeah. Some people.
So the attacks were being launched. Yeah. Constantly.
Yeah.
And when you have kids in common, they become the door. They mm-hmm. literally become mm-hmm. the door mm-hmm. through which all the attacks can just pass right on through.
Absolutely.
Because by law, you cannot do anything to, you cannot separate. You can't separate them.
Right.
He has rights.
Right.
I never had a problem with the rights. Right. I have a problem with the fact that there are people who use. And let me tell you something, you've grown, I'm preaching to the choir. We already know. Yes, we already know. Yeah. If you on earth, you know this.
Yeah, you do.
There are people who take advantage of the fact that there is that open door because of the kids in common, mm-hmm. and they just constantly. And I will always say, I don't care what lies were told, God is my witness. I don't think there's another woman on this planet who could just not respond the way I did. Mm-hmm. And that was not, and he's sitting right here with me. Mm-hmm. Did I pick up the phone and curse people out? Nope. There's a whole lot of petty stuff. I was just mm-hmm. gonna say nothing, not gonna do that. What I figured out was that I had to figure out how to always be one step ahead of him.
Right.
That's it. But what's funny is that there was so many false reports to the court, you know, motions that were filed to the court and false reports to Child Protective Services. They didn't call it that in Jersey, but you know, I'm saying that for the sake of viewers. Right. That I started to learn how things work.
I learned the system because
I was being forced to deal with the system. And that's how I was able to always stay one step ahead. And so to this day, on paper, court documents, on record, I never violated anything. But that's God. That's God, because we had many days where I was just like, that's enough, Jesus. That's enough. And my kids was everything to me. I was never the woman who was just like all over the place, partying, dropping the kids off. I wasn't that type of, no, not at all. Not at all. So
my wife has a ton of photos with her and her kids, and
I'm not in much of the photos in comparison to the pictures of just them, because I'm always,
you're taking a picture.
Anyway, go ahead, babe.
But again, this is talking about blended families. This is a parallel, because our, in that regard, our lives were, all I could do is support. Because a lot of the physical fights in terms of the courts, my hands were completely tied. The only thing I could do was do this. I got you, babe. I was there all the time. You know what I'm saying? Support, you know, that's it.
And then, you know, you have moments where it gets so bad, you get mad at your partner. You're so angry, because now the anger is, you instinctively just kind of feel like, why can't you do something? Like, why you do? You do feel like that sometimes. Just in that moment, you know, because it's not a logical thought. It's not an intentional thought, no. And I watched the same thing happen to you. What happens is, you know, when there's one person who is, ideally, people would get divorced and they would be mature and go their separate ways. And I think it's crazy that the courts say, why don't you just get along? Clearly, this is not a case of two people that can get along, right? But they seem to think it's a case of two people who can't get along because two people won't refuse to get along. Sometimes two people can't get along because it only takes one person to refuse for two people to not be able to get along.
Correct.
And I've watched you, and I've watched you also just get diminished to the point where the parent that can just be ignored, that's the one who got diminished. Trust me when I tell you, whoever can just be ignored and treated as if they're not there for years and years on end, that's the one who, that's been done on purpose. Correct. That's the one who's been diminished. That's the one that it's been instilled in the kids. So with such consistency and such faithfulness, that's what they believe. That is just what they don't see nothing else. They don't see anything else. And so without God,
it's a wrap.
You can't do anything. I knew I couldn't do anything. Because I knew if I also began to dig up and expose all the lies, I had already been painted in such a way where it would just, it would lend to the narrative of how bad I was. So I knew I had to just be patient, be prayerful, and that's it. I also did not want to further traumatize my kids, because I was always, as all of this stuff was going on for years, I was the only one concerned, what if it gets to be too much and all of a sudden I'm burying my child gave up, who just decided, because I've been there too. Because I've been there. So I know what that feels like. That was my fear. Stop freaking, because I kept thinking that we hear these stories. These stories are people's kids. It's people, family members and sisters and stuff. So why would you, you know, and to anybody who thinks, you know, I'm going to get her back, or I'm going to get him back, the ex, right? Whatever the case is, whoever, whether it's male or female, and the kids are being used, I get it. There's not a consideration for the kids. But what if one of those kids said, I can't take it anymore? I think we just saw a story like that too, actually. We did. I can't think of what it was now.
There's a movie, I believe.
I can't think of what it was now.
And the son.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a movie.
So, you know,
yes,
I was carrying a whole lot alone, alone with my father.
Absolutely, you were.
A whole lot. A whole lot. Sometimes you can't physically do anything.
No, blank.
You cannot force people to say, I want you in my life. I love you. I miss you. Yeah. They have to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the points in the video that I really wanted to drive home in all of this. Blending a family can't be forced. I tried to force it. It didn't work. And eventually, I just let go. I let go. And I was even willing to be, look, have a relationship with your kids. Leave my ass home. Now, that wasn't her stance. But I know how she feels about her kids. So I was okay with you go have a relationship with your kids because that means everything to you. Let me stay home. Huh?
What was that?
Over the years.
Okay.
Over the years. Like, I'm like, look, you know, it sounds like if Elijah wanted to talk to you, go ahead and talk to him. If he just want to talk to you, go talk to him. If his kids want to talk to you, go talk to him. I'm good. I'll be right here. I love you. I'll be right here when you get back. Now, that's not her heart. That's not what she wanted. But in terms of blending a family, I know that there's a process. So I'm like, okay, if it's her connecting with them, eventually we'll get back around to me. So I felt like, let me play the background.
But I just think, I don't recall you ever verbalizing that. I just feel like with us, and you know this, we always say this, it just happens. Like when the change happens, when the shift takes place, it just happens with both of us and we just feel it and we just know it and we just start to move. We take a different step or we move differently.
Correct.
Most of the time, we don't even have a conversation.
Yeah, but I was willing to. Okay. I was willing to say, hey, because I know that's how much they mean to you. You know what?
Me too. Yeah. I said that to you.
How can I say
but
this?
But because you were willing to, you didn't have to.
I didn't have to. God, that's God. That's where God comes in. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's those desires of our heart and those cries of our silent cries that it's like,
yeah,
I heard you, daughter. I got you.
I mean, I'm a little bit weird. I feel the same way about my kids also. But it's the same process. I think the difference is, I don't ever, because I have a lot of girls.
A lot. Three.
Well, three.
Sometimes and I have girls, two. And I got two girls, two boys.
Yeah, so sometimes girls are very different. You give them, in my head, you give them too much leeway, they won't take a mile. And I ain't giving nobody a mile. I need you to know, we can say hi and bye, but at some point, we got to say hi and bye. You know what I'm saying?
I got you, yeah. I mean, my dad was like that, and my mom was like that. Both of them got remarried, and both of them were like that.
Yeah, so.
And,
you know.
That's what we did.
Blending a family.
That's what we did. We got it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think respect was also easier for our generation.
Did you ever think about getting divorced during that time?
From you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you, well, you know this.
Well, I'm saying that. You know this.
But like for a thought of divorce for me is like a thought of, I don't know, I'm going to run outside naked.
Yeah.
Seems nice. Like, nice. You know, it's like a thought, but like, I'm not really going to.
Yeah.
There
was a point
because, you know, I just don't even know how to put things into words anymore. Like, some things, they're just too big. It's too much for words.
Yeah, it is.
We had very hard... It was crazy because we had a lot of hard days. And it also brought us closer. So, there was a day we had to call the police. And, you know, you jumped out. You pulled up. You jumped out of the Durango. And...
Starts getting hurt.
Literally jumped out. And... I knew he was not in a good place. I knew that had I not jumped in, I just jumped in front of him and I hugged him and to hold him. Mm-hmm. Because I thought if I did not, in a split second, I figured when I saw him, if you don't grab him, he's going to jail.
Yeah. Or worse.
At the beginning of our marriage, you ain't have self control.
Nope. Not with my anger. No.
Boy. When I think about it, though, it's like you were helping me through my past stuff. I was helping you through your past stuff. Mm-hmm. And we went through so much of just shedding all of that together. Mm-hmm. It was not really, I hate you and I got issues with you and I can't stand you and I got it. It never was. Yeah. I don't think it ever was.
Yeah, never. My wife was always very upfront. She always honored me, which made me fighting for her even better. Because I'm like, it ain't like she...
So I taught him how to behave better.
Yes, she did. So, blending families...
Long story short.
Blending families takes a lot of time. And when the kids are younger, it's a little bit easier. But if you come when they're teenagers... Put your seatbelts on, brothers and sisters. Put your seatbelts on.
Yeah.
Put your
seatbelts on. But it's no guarantee it's easier when they're younger either, because you still true. It still depends on who the
this
other
is
parent.
This is true. This is true.
Is or the other it could be the other grandma. Who knows?
I think you gotta ensure your bond with each other. My wife,
you gotta fight. You gotta fight for each other. Yeah, I was like we mentioned in the beginning of this video that my 29-year-old daughter. And is newly engaged, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember I sat down with her and her fiance. Well, it was literally like 2 weeks before they got engaged mm-hmm. that I visited them in Florida mm-hmm. at their place. And I remember saying the same thing to them. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody says, well, what is the secret? And well, how do you do it? And what is... It's two people who just say, no matter what, come hell or high water, I'm fighting for us. I'm fighting for you. Both people saying it. Both.
I agree.
You can't have one person raising hell, wants to live their own life and do their own daggone thing, and one person fighting for it.
Correct.
Like, that's not going to work. I don't care if you're an angel. I don't care if you have the power of God himself. You cannot make that work because it just takes two. It just does.
Absolutely.
Anyhow.
1,000%. Thank you for checking out.
We got to wrap it up.
Yeah. Thank you for checking out Father Malcolm Ballots. Thank you for checking out the podcast, y'all. I hope this was informative. We shared a lot. Mm-hmm. We shared a lot.
That didn't sound good.
What's that?
The chair.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I'm honored to be
but,
your husband.
But we're gonna share more. We'll share more.
Yeah. I'm honored to be your husband, you know.
We didn't even get to the second topic.
Ah, no.
And thank you.
It's all good.
Thank you. That's the beautiful feeling.
I'm honored to be your husband, and the Bible says that he'll give you beauty for ashes. And so we're at the beauty stage now.
Amen. Yeah. That's why we
sit back and look. Like, this is us every day now. You know, I'm boring. I go to work, come home.
I'm just glad you said that for a lot of reasons. One reason is because the beauty for ashes, 100% true. I think we remember our traumas so that we can appreciate our blessings. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so I remember being everything is wrong with you. And now I'm honored to be married to you. Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Y'all got to ride it out. Blending a family is
I
not...
I love you too.
Blending a family is not easy, y'all. It definitely takes time. There's no right answer. But it's worth it.
If you feel like you've got something worth fighting for,
amen.
Hang in there
amen.
And pray.
Amen.
God
amen.
Is faithful.
Amen. We'll check y'all out in the next video. Peace.
Bye.
Peace, y'all.